designs pretty sleek. I probably shouldn't have been carrying around my backpack all day.
Probably not, but you know.
Yeah. I'll have to give that a polish when I get home. No, it's pretty cool. And Zelda itself is pretty kick-ass.
I bet. Mr. Fancy.
So, that is, how long was the line when you were going to pick that up?
I went right after the podcast last week. There were about a dozen and a half people there before I was. And
I will tell you, I know that there are still some that you can still get at the store.
So apparently we were.
Oh no, that was actually you required
additional seconds. Assuming the worst about Nintendo stocking the correct number, but
either that or people weren't as excited about the system.
I mean,
it's possible. I do know that I asked at Best Buy how many they were getting, and they told me that they weren't going to get any that weren't already claimed by pre-order.
That could have been too.
When I checked again last week, there were apparent. I was told entirely differently that they had more than they thought they were getting.
Yeah, it could have been they were only guaranteed so many.
Yeah.
Or they could have been the stores were used to them not getting what they're guaranteed. And for the record, we are talking about the Nintendo Switch, which I have to say I was pretty impressed for the tablet graphics, but of course, like you were saying, that's the full-fledged console.
It's not a controller, it is the console. It does come with a... you can unplug the I think they're called the Joy-Cons.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, from the side, and you can plug them into a more traditional controller and then play it on your TV if you like. But the tablet itself is the entirety of the console. The games are on SD cards, and there is room for additional memory that you can plug in as well. Although the system itself has a few gigabits, I believe.
I don't think I like the games being on SD cards, though.
I do.
No room for a disc this time, obviously.
They're a lot more durable.
They are.
B.
But they're a lot easier to lose.
I will give you, they are easier to lose. But I just love the little to no load times.
Actually, yeah. Bring it down.
In this case, where it's assumed that you're good at keeping track of things, because console standards, really easy to lose.
Yeah, it's not that much harder to lose than a disc.
But it is a Nintendo system. Nintendo naturally attracts more of a family aspect, and little kids are known to lose things. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't have a problem losing, and I wouldn't lose my Zelda game. I would know where it's at all times of the day, every day.
Yeah, I do see kids using it as a glorified Game Boy. Yeah.
Basically.
Carrying it around with them everywhere.
Speaking of little kids, this is the first time I brought it out of my house. I've just been playing it in the comfort of my own home so far, but I wanted to bring it today to show you guys. And I didn't know if David was going to be here. He was asking me if it was worth getting. And incidentally, yes, I do think it is totally worth getting.
What was the cost on them?
$300 for the console, and then Zelda is...
Oh, it's only $300 for the console?
It's $300 for the console.
You're making me want to buy this thing.
The fact that you came here and you're playing it makes me want to buy it.
I know.
That's the only game systems I ever play nowadays have to be something I can take with me.
Well, you can justify the purchase, I think, just for playing Zelda, because it is pretty kick-ass. I'm not that far into it yet, but... You can already tell that it's a very lushly crafted world. I have a hard time advancing the story because I keep getting sidetracked by, oh shit, I need to climb that, you know?
Even like the Wii, I loved it every time I played it. But I personally never had the space to, or a decent living room to run the Wii. So
you do have to have a bit of a decently set out living room to play the Wii, because I've just brought out my old Wii recently to play with the roommate and the girlfriend, and our small apartment. It's kind of hard to play that thing in.
Yeah. When my mom was playing Wii Sports, she loved to play Wii Bowling. She oft complained about the lack of room inside of my bedroom.
Yeah.
But speaking of little kids, I mentioned a minute ago, apparently, I haven't tested this, but apparently they've coated all of the SD cards with a chemical that tastes awful to discourage kids from putting it in their mouths. Apparently, you can look up on YouTube, there are people who are testing this, and the reaction videos have become a bit of a thing now, because apparently it's true.
Well, pull out your Zelda game, I'll chew on it now, and we'll tell you if it how well it tastes.
Hey, we kid around a lot, but if you damage my Zelda game, I will kill you.
And I would understand. Because Zelda is definitely one of those long-running franchises that seem to have everybody hooked.
There's already a lot of buzz about Breath of the Wild being the best Zelda ever, and I can't say that yet, just because I've seen, like, such a small fraction of the story, and that's a big part of it for me personally. But it's definitely the coolest Hyrule. And the controls have received a significant overhaul, I would say for the better.
There was a jump button.
There was a jump button. Adam can verify. He watched me use it.
So, the question is, story-wise, do you know where it takes place?
In the timeline?
Yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine. I haven't the slightest clue.
The Zelda timeline
don't worry
doesn't mean anything anyway.
Well, you know, I'm always curious.
It is nothing but just a contrived excuse to make the same game over and over again, you know?
I see it more as Nintendo just kind of throwing a bone to the fans who are hiring away, trying to piece together a timeline.
And it doesn't really matter on the timeline anyway, because the timeline branches off in like three or four different places.
There's a handful of Zelda games where the timeline is significant, like when Ocarina of Time to Wind Waker.
I know, yeah.
That's really the only one I can think of.
Skyward Sword is the first one, because
it is
you make the Master Sword.
Okay, and that is pretty cool, that you get to see like the origin story or whatever. And then Twilight Princess apparently takes place after Majora's Mask.
Well, it's an alternate timeline that happens, you know, splintered off. Yeah, well, it's splintered off after Wind Waker, or not after Wind
after
Waker,
Ocarina.
After Ocarina, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a divulgent past.
So, well, I know A Link to the Past was called that way because it was supposedly, yeah.
Although, I will say,
after the original Zelda, you know.
I am somewhat perplexed by where in the timeline this one might be, because there's actually kind of a modern vibe to some of the items and technology that you're using. Like, you effectively carry around a tablet with you. That's kind of...
Does it look suspiciously like the Nintendo Switch?
Not too much, but you can make the connection. There's not Joy-Cons on the side of it or anything like that. But there's...
You haven't gotten that upgrade yet.
There are automatons that are littered throughout the landscape. Most of them are dormant because they've been around for apparently 10,000 years.
Oh, must be fairly late in the timeline, then.
Yeah. So is it drastically further than that? But again, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Do the automatons resemble any of the bad guys from the earlier games?
Vaguely. In fact, I thought for a moment that I could defeat one the same way I defeated some of those previous bad guys by just like throwing a bomb at it, but it didn't work. This is as good a time as any to mention, I've died a lot more in this Zelda than I ever have before. There is...
Well, I mean, like you said, you ventured off a lot more in this one than you
this
had
is true.
Before. And so when you venture off to go explore stuff and do stupid things, you're more likely to die than if you're just falling along the rails like you normally do in a Zelda game.
In the tutorial area, you can accidentally stumble across a boss more or less immediately.
That's
and
hilarious.
He will wreck your ass in one hit. So I died from that. I died from those guardian things. Apparently they're lasers when you're starting out or a one-shot kill. And you can be overwhelmed.
There were some other guardians that had lasers in one of the games. I can't remember which
one. Oh, several, yes. But these are apparently made of sterner stuff. And I've also been overwhelmed by large numbers of enemies on more than one occasion, which is worse than it used to be because you have to... Replenishing hearts is more of an investment now. You have to collect food and heal yourself, or find a place to rest and heal yourself that way. Enemies don't drop hearts anymore.
Not just eat the still beating heart of a slain foe.
You no longer eat the still beating heart of a slain foe. Cartoonish as it may be, but...
This is not cartoonish. This sounds horrible.
There's none of those in here. So.
Well, it's always like, you know, the little Valentine heart.
I bet.
Have the, bring it down. There is a live mic.
I wasn't the one saying anything this time.
Well, I know.
But no, it's even having barely played a fraction of it, it's clearly a great game, and I think it's worth getting the Switch right now. That being said, if you want to wait for the price drop, that's understandable, especially since Zelda is the only game right now that's really worth getting.
Yeah, I don't know any of the other games at all.
Well, a couple honestly, of them are just like silly little throwaway things. Like one of them is called like Snipper Clips or some such thing.
It's like some just like, stuff so they can have games.
Yeah, it's some like kiddie game, I think. And then I think Bomberman is out.
Oh man, when was the last time a Bomberman
the last
game
time,
was made?
They make them, but apparently they're trying to generate hype for the next one by making all the characters like buxom anime girls.
Well, I mean, that was as long as it's a classic type puzzle game, it may be worth playing. You know, I mean, really, if you give me Zelda and Tetris, any portable system, I'm good. Yeah. Yeah.
Though in the months to come, they're going to be coming out with ARMS, which is like this boxing game, apparently. It's like a fighting game where like you like hold the Joy-Cons and use them kind of like the motion controls.
Yeah, I mean, could you essentially...
It's an amped-up Wii boxing.
Yeah, can't they just re-release all the Wii Sports with the
theoretically, they might eventually. But in the meantime, they are also rolling out Splatoon 2, which is the next game that I'm almost certainly going to get later this summer.
Splatoon was a fun game.
Splatoon is fun. I look forward to playing that with a more conventional control scheme, honestly.
Yes.
And Mario Odyssey is coming out in the holiday, apparently.
And of course, you know, that'll be the next big bump in, you know, console sales is the Mario game.
Yeah, they led with their big gun in Zelda, and they're holding off their other big franchise for the holiday season.
Yeah, it makes sense. Usually it's the other way around, Mario then Zelda, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, this Zelda's been delayed specifically so that it could come out with the Switch so that it could move consoles, I imagine.
Also, when you've been delaying it for a long time, it is better to go ahead and get it first because there's the chance that you know, they can use it to show off the system. But if somebody else were to release something with as good of graphics that could do just as well, it would look lackluster.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to be the most amazing thing on this game.
Yeah.
And blow you away on a new system.
But, yeah, that's... for me, and for a lot of folks, I think, it's still the games that move the consoles rather than the technical specs or, like...
Because, oh, definitely.
But I bought
and that's
Wii U
the difference between the true mobile market, you know, in phones and tablets and stuff like that. Because the consoles are what... And, you know, it's the text that move it, not the games and stuff.
Yeah. I bought a Wii U to play Smash Bros. I bought an Xbox to play Mass Effect. Or Xbox 360, I should say. I bought a Wii to play Twilight Princess, so on and so forth. I can't think of a single console I've ever gotten, except for the one I got for Christmas, that was my very first console, where I didn't buy it in order to play a specific game that I wanted.
That makes sense. Every console I've bought was for a Zelda game. I mean, as far as the Nintendo...
Well, if that tradition continues here, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Although, it's understandable if you want to wait a bit.
Yeah,
so, again, it's worth it to get it now, but...
although, to be honest...
There's wisdom in waiting, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, I never got the Wii or the Wii U, so I've never played Twilight Princess, but I've moved out of the hardcore gamer.
Twilight Princess is... Well, okay, there's a new contender now, but for the time being, Twilight Princess is my personal favorite. Wind Waker a close second.
I really did enjoy Wind Waker. The graphics took some getting used to, but I actually do like them because they're so seamless. You know, yes, they looked cartoony, but it looked flawless. You know, just watching it, you know, it looks like you're watching an anime.
That game got a lot of crap when it first came out because of how it looked, but I still think it's the best. Well, it might not be now, but before Breath of the Wild, it was was the best looking Zelda game ever to come out.
Well, and that cell shading style, it holds up.
When they adapted the game to HD, they barely had to change the graphics.
Right, I mean,
they added some textures and stuff, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, when you go to the real D stuff, it doesn't hold up as well.
No.
20 years from now, Wind Waker will still look good. I mean, just and will still easily upscale, whereas something like, you know, Link to the Past, you play it now, and the graphics are dated. Yeah. Yeah, or even you get the original Ocarina of Time. Yeah.
How did you say it?
Ocarina. Sorry.
To be fair, I've never heard it said out loud in the game itself, so maybe I've been saying it wrong all these years. Who knows?
No, I think Ocarina is. I don't know why I said Carney or Cornea.
I thought you were like Ocarina. What is that? Some like Dreamcast game or something?
Ocarina. It's where Link runs away to join the carnival.
You know, you're joking, but I would play the shit out of that.
Your goal would be to steal rubies by, you know, tricking people into playing games. And
yeah. Link would make a damn good Carney, honestly.
Well, now I am your host, Lawrence of America. And with me today is
Taylor
and Adam
and Scarlett.
Okay, well then, he's gonna shoot.
Introduce yourself.
Hi.
We have a new victim here.
Oh.
FYI, this is our podcast, Geeks of the Square Table. We're recording right now, so when I said introduce yourself, I meant to the mic.
Oh, fantastic! I'm Scarlett.
This is episode 158.
I don't like the very nice to meet you.
Yeah, what was your last video game you played?
Oh, God. Witcher 3?
Okay. I haven't played it. I heard it's like amazeballs, though.
It is really incredible. I mean, as a person who's really into narrative, I've got to say, it's got really complicated plots, great storytelling, beautiful graphics. For me, though, I found the gameplay a little bit inaccessible, but I'm not much of a video gamer, to be honest. So,
the combat in the Witcher games is a little difficult.
They don't make the...
It's not intuitive.
Wow. From what I hear, though, you don't play Witcher for the combat, per se?
No. You play Witcher for the gritty story.
Okay, well. That's for the Xbox One, right?
Yeah. I think so.
I can't play it then.
I think so. And PS4 and the PC.
See, I hate they took away the backwards compatibility.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Since this one's using an SD card, it is quite obviously not backwards compatible.
Can it use 3DS games, though?
Yeah. I haven't tried it yet. Maybe.
Those are, I mean,
I seem to remember the SD cards being a bit narrower for the Wii U here.
If I could play my Fire Emblem game. If I can play my Fire Emblem game on my TV, I'll be happy.
That would be pretty dope.
I mean, are these legitimate SD cards? Because the 3DS wasn't a true SD card.
No, that is a true SD card.
No,
it wouldn't.
It's the wrong size. Yeah. This is not quite a true SD card, but it is about the size, slightly different shape. Keeping it proprietary, of course.
Incidentally, like every time you turn it on, it effectively just resumes from where you last were.
Awesome.
Like, there's no startup screen effectively at all. It's just turned on.
Of course, I don't think.
Well, I think it took the game card out, but otherwise, it would have just popped up exactly where I was.
I don't think that's something that I could even do with a disc.
No, probably not.
But of course, all the disc systems now, they just load it onto the game.
Yeah, the games aren't even on the discs.
Yeah, the major ones you have to download onto the hard drive. At least with that, you know, you're never going to run out of hard drive space with all the memory being on the console itself.
Yeah.
Cartridge instead of the console.
That is true. I mean, you could have as many NES games as you damn well pleased. You could have effectively an infinite number, and as long as the console turned on, you could play all of them.
I probably still have about 80 of them. I mean, that's just me. It's been a little while since I've played them. I'm sure the batteries are dead, most of them. Yeah.
Yeah. My old cartridge of Banjo-Kazooie stopped working after a while. That was a sad day.
Well,
speaking of, apparently Yooka-Laylee is dropping, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Yes, yeah, it's supposed to come out soon. There's a lot of stuff coming out in March. March is a big month.
It is. Not just in video games.
In everything.
Now, have you guys seen Logan yet?
I have seen
it. I haven't.
How was it?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, Logan was great.
You want to
sit
down?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to go see it on Tuesday night, but Amanda had to work, you know, so we wanted to go see it in RPX, and the RPX showing was at 10:45, and it's a 2.5-hour movie plus trailer, so I was like, I'm down, but you're the one that has to be functioning and dealing with people at 9 in the morning. I just get up and make you coffee. You know?
I did go see it opening night, and I've gone to see it again already since then. Had to take a friend to introduce her to it, just because it was amazing. But to be honest, I'd been sort of counting down the days ever since I saw the trailer and that Johnny Cash music in the back. Just like, yeah,
that was a great trailer.
Good music choice.
You have my ticket ahead of time. Let's be real.
So it lived up to your expectations.
Oh yeah, actually, I would say it exceeded them. It was
excellent.
Really, really. Awesome.
So I am glad to hear that Hugh Jackman's getting to go out on a high.
Sorry,
dude. Yeah. Yeah, I actually roller coaster ride. Unfriended somebody on Facebook because they hit a spoiler for the movie in their post, and it just happened to show up. Hey, important news, you know, I just want to say, you know, and it was something like that, well, this happened to my family, and the end of the movie is this.
Oh, that is a dick
move. That is a dick move.
Three
shots, threes to hit. Two hits.
Well, don't spoil it for me.
I'm not going to.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, I unfriended that person, and if I see them in real life, I do intend to yell at them. Because this was, I mean, like, this was the other day, so the movie hasn't even been out that long.
Yeah.
No. About a week now?
Yeah, a week tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say, I was expecting to go in and, you know, be impressed by, you know, pretty much everybody, because good actors, but Patrick Stewart stole the show, in my opinion.
Oh, well, that's
what
he does.
I mean, as I know he does, but he's great.
Also his swan song at the Professor X character.
Yeah.
Unless they take him up on his offer to guest star on Legion.
He should. He should.
Oh, but I do hear that at the end of Logan is actually a teaser for Deadpool.
No, actually, it's in the beginning.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, my mistake.
Yeah, it sort of tricks you into thinking that it's starting the movie, but then it doesn't. It does the Deadpool teaser, which is, it's really funny.
If you look in the background during sort of the largest part of the teaser, you will see like there's a theater and it says Logan at the top.
Yeah,
showing.
Okay.
So some cute little detail there.
Yeah. All right. Definitely looking forward to that too, and some casting news out of that. Apparently, Domino is going to be played by Zazie Beetz. She's an actress from Atlanta. The show Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I need to watch that.
I hear it's great.
I hear it's great too. Yeah.
I have not seen it either, so I'm afraid I don't know who she is, but. Oh, there's a picture of her, though. Like,
actually, I recognize her.
Okay. So, doesn't mean much to me personally since I don't know who she is, but...
Well, and Domino's not really a character that means much to me anyway.
Also true. But it is kind of cool to see the wheels in motion for Deadpool casting going on.
Yeah, really the only casting I'm really concerned about with Deadpool would be Cable.
There's lots of rumors circulating about
Lots of rumors about Cable.
As far as I know, Keira Knightley isn't going to step up to the plate.
Well, that's disappointing.
Oh, well.
Maybe a cameo. Maybe.
Deadpool is going to have a lot of expectations going in, which is different from Deadpool 1 in a lot of ways, because Deadpool 1 was just this miracle movie that was getting thwarted at every turn by the studio, but then it came out and everyone loved it, and it was amazing. But now, it's going to be interesting seeing what they do when they actually have expectations and actually have a budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, apparently Ryan Reynolds is already having to fight off the studio from fucking it up.
Fox will
do
that.
It's been a labor of love for him, so I'm sure he will defend it.
Yeah, I mean, he really stuck to his guns with the first one, and I have a lot of respect for him for that. He made sure that it was a genuinely Deadpool movie. Which
good, a genuinely good Deadpool.
It was also a great movie overall. Yeah, like, if you told me like 10 years ago that's the movie they were gonna make, I wouldn't have believed you. But they actually pulled it off.
So. Well, I wouldn't have believed you either, because it's completely different from any other superhero movie ever made. So.
It is. And it's an important proof of concept, allowing things like Logan to come out with its R rating.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that said, though, it still has me worried about other movies with R ratings. Because I have heard, you know, that DC is not... They're not scared about the R rating either. Which
they shouldn't make a Batman R rating.
They should not make a Batman R. DC should work on making good movies before they make R movies.
I mean, so far their big problem, right, is that so many of their characters are kind of out of tune with what the characters are usually like. Batman was more of the Punisher, and Superman's running around killing people. Like. An R rating is fine for characters like Deadpool and Wolverine because it's appropriate for those characters. It would be appropriate for the
Wolverine,
Punisher.
Wolverine has knives for hands.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of hard to lay off the gore when your primary attack is a limb-ripping decapitation slash.
Yes.
Logan may have exceeded Deadpool in terms of gore, which, I mean, is saying something.
Yeah.
But I don't think... At the same time, I don't feel that it was at all gratuitous. It was very appropriate to the tone of the movie and the story that the characters were, you know, going on.
Well, I am very glad to hear that. I really need to go see it.
You should.
I'll try to see it this weekend, but I got, like, shit to do. Oh, well.
Don't we all?
Well, I gotta go get, like, fitted for a suit for my brother's wedding.
Oh, that's actually real shit. Yeah, you should probably get that done.
Yeah, not just, like... I don't want to go do it shit. Like, shit, I have obligations to uphold.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, well. But also coming out here in the month of March is the Iron Fist show, although it's not getting great reviews.
It hasn't been getting great reviews. I've been hearing... all the reviews I've been hearing is that it's a very slow burn.
Very lukewarm reception.
And then there's been a lot of criticism about whitewashing in it, which I...
That's a tricky subject.
It is a tricky subject.
I mean, I've seen people point out that... I am the textbook of terrible... It's... If they had cast an Asian guy as Iron Fist, then are they just playing to stereotypes?
Well,
especially when it's a white guy from the comics.
It's if they were going to have an Asian guy be Iron Fist, then they might as well have made a Master of Kung Fu TV show. Because that character is actually Asian.
Shang-Chi is actually Asian, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Danny Rand is historically
a white character. I just feel like in this specific case with Iron Fist, there really was no winning.
There is no winning.
Which... I'm all for more representation in shows. We do need something like that.
Oh, definitely.
I can't remember. But
that's part of why Luke Cage was so great.
Yeah. Luke Cage was unapologetically black.
Yeah, definitely.
Steeped in black culture.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited to watch Luke Cage. It's just been sort of in my queue, you know, since
it
came out. And, like, I really have to find the time to watch it.
It has a little bit of the same problem that Daredevil Season 2 had, in that it peaks early.
Yeah, the first half is a lot better than the second half.
Yeah.
It probably has the worst villain out of all of the Marvel Netflix villains so far.
Okay. I thought that Jessica Jones also suffered a little bit from having a very strong opening, and then it got a little slow in the middle, and it picked up again at the end.
Yeah.
But, and Luke Cage was great in Jessica Jones. So.
But it has an excellent soundtrack. The whole soundtrack for Luke Cage is amazing.
It is really kick-ass. So far, though, my favorite Netflix season is still Daredevil Season 1, because that progressed at a really good pace. Kingpin was the villain throughout, and he had a ladder to climb.
He did.
Whereas,
he had a character arc.
Yeah. In Season 2, all the stuff with the Punisher early on was really great, but...
Yeah, it peaked at Episode 4.
Yeah, the stuff with Elektra wasn't bad, per se, but the best moment was definitely Episode 4, like, with the Punisher giving his...
On the rooftop, yes.
Yeah, on the rooftop. And also, like, after they've, like, spoiler alert, thwarted the Irish mafia dudes.
Yeah.
His speech about his daughter and everything. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a real gut punch of a moment.
So you're saying Iron Fist had a great soundtrack.
How does Power Man.
I'm sorry. How does that compare to Guardians? Now, I know they don't have the budget to get the same, same song, but...
They do have a similar strength in that they integrate the songs into the stories really well. Like, they're very organic whenever they don't... It's not just, like, some...
You know, off in the background.
Yeah, it's not like Suicide Squad we were complaining about last week, where it was just, like, popping in and just...
Yeah, it just pops in randomly.
Random. Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense, and it's terrible. Yeah.
Well, they made them... Most of the action takes place at a nightclub.
So, naturally, there should be some music playing.
Yep. But, Mahershala Ali, I think his name is, recently just won an Academy Award, and he is the villain for the first half of Luke Cage, and he was really kick-ass.
He was a good villain.
Yeah.
The second one, not so much.
I mean, he wasn't like
he wasn't horrible. Okay, I'm not saying like he was a waste of time or anything.
When he first showed up, he was like kind of goofy, honestly.
Yeah, he's the most comic booky out of all of the villains. He doesn't feel like a real character. He feels like a guy who he just feels very one dimensional. Which the Netflix shows have always been very good at, you know, fleshing everybody out. He didn't receive.
Yeah.
Even Kilgrave and Jessica Jones, who is this, I mean, it's really hard to call Kilgrave anything besides incredibly evil. And he's basically pure id. What does a person become when they can have whatever they want with no consequences? But
Kilgrave
is
by far the scariest villain.
I agree.
Not just
with
in
that.
The Netflix shows, but maybe in just the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
He can make you do anything.
Yeah.
Anything at all. And that is a horrifying concept, and they do not shy away from that.
Yeah.
But even him, they still manage to flesh him out a bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They don't make you... They make you understand him a little bit. They don't make you sympathize with him. But.
Oh, no. That's an interesting thing to come up with some of these characters where you understand but not condone.
Exactly.
No one should ever condone the things Kilgrave does.
Oh, no, never.
Oh, yeah.
It's genuinely horrific. But we can at least see how that happens, you know, how he came to be what he is.
Well, I mean...
And also, how long of you living in a world where people do everything you say...
Yeah, you never know.
...before you become corrupt...
Yeah.
Well, you also, everybody does everything you say. You don't know if they're doing it because they want to, or if because you tell them to do everything. You never know if you have any actual friends. You never know if anybody ever actually cares for you, or if they care for you because you tell them to. And, I mean, I can only imagine what that would have psychologically do to your mind after a while doing that stuff.
Which, I mean, you can definitely see that in his interactions with Jessica, where he has this delusion that she loved him. You know, that she was meant to be with him. I mean, and when in reality, he just, you know, abused and used her, and she hates him. So that's, I mean, what he's experiencing and what he thinks is so far from the reality of the situation.
Yeah. Kilgrave is a great villain, and, again, the scariest villain. For my money, though, I still put Kingpin as the best of the Netflix villains so far. Just, I love the way he was introduced as, like, we first see him as a person. He's, like, inside of that art exhibit.
Well, the first scene...
Like, he goes on a date, and we're seeing him be shy.
Yeah, the first scene, you see him be shy about asking a girl on a date.
And then it's all the more shock shocking when he decapitates a guy with a car door.
Yeah, this is one of the best ways to decapitate.
Yeah, I mean, you're really taken aback, but like, whoa, wow, okay, there's this guy's actually kind of a monster.
Well, okay, did he get shot down by the girl?
No. He was on the date with a girl, and one of his underworld associates came in and started talking business with him while he was on the date, and so he felt embarrassed by this man, well, in front of this woman that he liked, and so he beat him to death and then slammed his head into a car door until it was turned to pulp.
Yeah, I have to admit, I mean, if somebody crashed a date of mine with a woman that good looking, I might also do the same thing. So.
Wow, okay. Keep my eye on you. All right.
Yeah, sorry. Ryan had to cross you.
But, there's a place where you can stand where you can. I also like the kind of subtle ways they did character work with him, where, like, even with her, they, she's, like, talking about, like, my paintings, like, my painting. And it's, like, kind of, like, this subtle thing where even when he's dealing with this person he actually cares about, it's important that his stuff is his. And even this person that he loves, it's my painting. But, yeah. I just love Kingpin. He's a great character.
He's a great guy.
Great acting. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again, I think probably in Season 3 of Daredevil. He's not going to be in Defenders, is he?
No, he's not going to be in Defenders.
Okay.
He'll be in Season 3 of Daredevil because he has to completely rip Matt Murdock's life apart.
Oh, yeah, he is in jail. He is coming out again, yes. One assumes, and he is going to wreck Murdock's shit.
Yes.
So, that's something to look forward to. But, I mean, that's Daredevil, right?
Yeah, Daredevil's always has to get shit on. He has to play that Catholic schoolboy with regret about everything.
Yeah, his life is never together for very long.
No.
Well, you know, he won't see it coming.
Oh, well.
I saw a video, somebody online was talking how Daredevil should be called Batman because they have the Bat Vision with sonar. And Ghost Rider should be called Daredevil.
Yes!
Wow, that shook.
Gracious me.
That was a very loud lightning strike and thunder that was probably picked up on this mic. Or at least everybody exclaiming.
It shook the windows. So. Yeah.
Wow.
I still have the objective here.
Oh. Welcome to Tennessee. Hey guys, it's going to snow on Saturday.
That's what I hear, actually. It was like 70 freaking degrees today.
It was more than that. I mean, I got a little red on the drive to work. And yeah.
Yeah. Tennessee weather.
I know, right? It's great. Whatever the wind blows, man.
You get four seasons in 1 week.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, but you were saying about Ghost Rider.
Yeah, saying that Ghost Rider should be called Daredevil. Now,
because he's all devilish.
Well, he was a.
And he dares the devil.
Well.
Oh, and I mean, he does have the whole Evel Knievel thing.
He was Evel Knievel, and he works for the devil, you know. Daredevil sees like a bat, you know. That they had the wrong names or whatever.
So does that make Batman Ghost Rider? Which, now that I said out loud, actually works reasonably well.
Something like they did a whole thing. It was like Dorkly or something like that that did it, and it was all in 8-bit graphics. It was funny. YouTube it, search it, it'll show up eventually. Yeah.
Oh well.
But yeah, no, I mean, Daredevil being Batman makes perfect sense, you know. He sees just like a bat.
By the time Daredevil rolled around, Batman.
Somebody agrees.
Are we sure the apocalypse
or
isn't
maybe
happening
he disagrees.
Outside? Just
maybe it's
not. I sure hope not. I gotta go see Logan still. But, I get, Batman had been taken for a pretty long time by the time Daredevil.
Yeah, because Daredevil, what, was
like
60s?
Yeah. So 30 years-ish.
So, yeah.
But in spite of the not glowing reviews that Iron Fist is getting so far.
I'm still excited to see it.
I'm still going to watch it.
I'm not enthused about Finn Jones, but that could just be, I mean, my only experience with him is as Loras Tyrell in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is the only thing I've ever seen.
I wasn't sure if, you know, it was like bad direction for him or just... what? I mean, page to screen, the adaptation of that character didn't work very well, so
I don't know. I agree that I don't really like the look, and you know, I feel bad for saying this, but he doesn't exactly look cut enough to be Iron Fist.
He doesn't look like he would punch a dragon in the face.
No. And incidentally, yeah, Iron Fist does have the coolest superhero origin story, because he beat the crap out of a dragon in order to get his powers. He couldn't even do the fist unto iron and all the chi, however they pronounce it, stuff until he beat a dragon in a fight. And that's pretty badass.
That's hard to top.
Yeah.
You can't tell from these scrubs, but I'm
nursing. Oh, man.
Very similar to Goku's origin stories, only, yeah, he stole balls from a dragon.
That's not even a little bit true, Larry.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
I've watched all of 5 minutes of Dragon Ball Z.
That's very, very far from the truth of how the plot.
And by my defense, 5 minutes of Dragon Ball Z is like what, 12 episodes?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure. Well, if you're using Dragon Ball time, yeah, it's a giant episodic fight against Frieza. So.
All of season 3 is nothing but the Frieza fight.
Oh god, that sounds like Naruto arcs.
Well,
I'm very sad.
I used to have a buddy who was real big into it, and it was always, you know, the show was, you know, like 25 minutes long, you know, there were 10 minutes of commercial, 5 minutes of intro, with 2 minutes of this happened last time, and then 3 minutes of show, and 2 minutes of this is coming up next time. Then 5 minutes of outro, and yeah, well, I was like,
it's truer than it should be. yeah, but I agree with you about Naruto. Like, you can skip roughly half the episodes.
I know. That's why I gave up on the anime for Naruto. Yeah. I just started reading the manga. I mean, that's where all the meat is.
Well, manga's been done for a while now, hasn't it?
Oh, it is.
The manga's been done for forever, and they're still doing filler. Although, actually, now they're doing, like, post... like post manga, like novels that they did.
I mean, technically the manga is done. The manga by Masashi Kishimoto is done.
Yeah.
But now one of his proteges is now doing like a story about the next generation. And Naruto had 700 chapters. Yeah. Is it ever going to end?
So far, he's just been ripping the Boruto movie, though.
Oh, really? I haven't read it. I was just like, no, I'm done. This has eaten too much of my life.
About a year in, yes, he has done nothing but rehash the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a bigger fan of Naruto than I am an antagonist of Naruto, but yeah, the filler is just absurd. Like, there's a lot of problems with it, but I like the setting, I like the characters, I like the kind of mythology. Like.
I read it for 700 chapters, so that should tell you something. Yeah. I mean, even though I got hugely frustrated with the direction that a lot of the characters were taken in, I felt that it was, you know, bloated, too many villains, you know.
And when you say 700 chapters, you mean literally,
literally
700.
Literally 700
chapters. 700 chapters, exactly. Yes.
The thing that bothers me most besides the filler is that some of the abilities are just ridiculous bullshit that isn't like the Sharingan does like 11 different things that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, first it's just the Sharingan, and then, you know, Mangekyou Sharingan, and then Eternal Mangekyou Sharingan.
So originally it's just like you're able to like copy enemy movements and like track them really well, and you can see a lot better than most. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Which is really cool.
But then you can also summon like unstoppable black fire and like put the opponent into like a dream world, and you can also create like a freaking Gundam aura thing around you.
Yep.
And you can also make yourself temporarily invincible for 5 minutes. You can also trap your opponent in a time loop. Let's see. And then there's like the person specific Sharingan things, like becoming Kitty Pride or teleporting into another. Well, actually, I guess that's the same thing. And there's that other guy who does his own different dream world thing where you don't realize you're in a dream world. The Sharingan is bullshit.
The Sharingan is bullshit, I agree. And the Byakugan was so much cooler from the very beginning.
I like the Byakugan, mostly because I like Hinata. She's my favorite character.
Neji, man. Neji was...
Neji's awesome, too. But they did that right, that Naruto ended up with Hinata.
Oh, yeah, I agree completely.
Sakura sucks.
Oh, no, I love Sakura. Okay, Sakura, part one.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, just the victim of, like, not writing, like, a 12-year-old girl very well, honestly.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. She grows a bit.
Yeah, in part two, she's a lot better.
That's true. All right. Well, we're putting Larry and Adam to sleep. So
It sounds like y'all are talking about some, like, Street Fighter knockoff or something.
Well, okay. Do you think Naruto has a bullshit plot?
No, just the actual plot details of Street Fighter.
Well, I mean, Street Fighter's a great fighter, and like, but I play the game and I pick up on none of this really, really intricate story that apparently exists in the Street Fighter universe.
Yeah,
like I'm like you see, like I go and like look up the wiki and
all
it's
the
like,
all the fighters have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. Tekken, it's true. Mortal Kombat, especially Mortal Kombat.
You know, and they've done like 12 different mini series for Street Fighters.
Yeah.
You know, like every character has its own little 4-part series.
Even the ones that no one cares about, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I understand Ryu and, like, and Bison, and it's like, you know, like prolific characters, but. Did people really need to know about, like, Blanca? Or, I mean, he's just like, he's like an ape dude. I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of, like, intricate backstory there.
No. You'd be surprised.
Or what, but, like, Vega? You know, I mean.
Vega's an assassin dude. I feel like, you know, character explored. Let's move on. Sagat's pretty cool. I can understand him doing him, but...
So there was a question that came up to mind when we were talking about the launch titles. And a game, you know, and I thought, there's always some launch titles just so they can have extra titles out there that would have nohow been made otherwise. One came to mind called Bloodwake. So when the original Xbox launched, it had 4 titles. Bloodwake, Gotham Street Racing, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X, and Halo.
Thank God Halo. Yeah, done. Yeah.
No, those were Halo the 4 so titles.
If that's the only game, the only game I could play.
They timed that well. Halo's a great game, but like it was probably helped quite a bit by being the only good game at launch.
Tony Hawk 2 was
good.
I'm sure Tony Hawk was a good game.
Yeah, I was thinking modern Tony Hawk, but you know, back then Tony Hawk was in its heyday.
That was essentially, you know, a best-selling game that they'd given a graphic update to and added some bonus levels. And that was basically, you know, the update there. But Bloodwake was a boat game where you had speedboats.
I get it. I get the wake part now.
And where's the blood coming?
Yeah, where's the blood?
I feel like that's the...
that's the kicker.
That's the thing that I had more questions about, honestly.
It was like a demolition derby.
On a boat?
On a boat. It was
so
like,
wouldn't
like a collision in a boat just like cause you like to drift off course rather than like
crying? Yeah. that
now you see the problem with the game.
Okay. What was the game with the crazy clown? Like Twisted Metal?
Twisted Metal.
It was like that with boats, only, you know, less.
They should have named the game that
characters.
Twisted Metal with boats.
More drifting slowly in water.
right. I mean, it takes you a long time to accelerate. Right. It was a horrible, horrible game. And even, like, the first, I think, year, they only came out with 12 titles altogether. And,
thank God Halo was there.
So I had an Xbox and the first 12 titles. And, of course, Halo and Tony Hawk were playable. And... You know, the racing game was a basic racing game. There was a little kind of like Army Men type game, but really, Bloodwake was by far the worst game I could imagine. I
kind of want to play this game.
You know,
is it so bad it's fun?
No.
Is it like, so, like, could you get,
it
could
looked,
you get, could you
for
get
the
hammered?
Time, it looked really pretty. Now,
could you
being,
could you get hammered on a Saturday night and you and your friend have a good couple hours just playing this game as a joke?
Maybe, because it is a multiplayer game.
Is this like the game equivalent of watching Batman and Robin or The Room?
Kind of. I mean, okay. there's not like, because it's on water, there's not a lot of like flaming explosions and cool stuff to watch.
I can think of a few things in my life I've enjoyed as much as The Room.
The Room is great.
It's spectacularly bad in the truest sense of the word.
Especially if you go to an actual showing of that. It's great.
Okay, so apparently, like the Rocky Horror thing, I've heard all of those. What are the Room things? Like, you do spoons, I think I heard?
Yeah, one of them is, and every time, there's this picture of a spoon that's on, like, a mantle, and every time you see that spoon, you just throw a spoon at the screen.
Okay. I can imagine maybe theaters don't particularly enjoy
doing
showings of The Room.
Enjoy that. No, there's all kinds of little things like that. I mean, plus that movie's just hilarious. If that's
Do you, like, do a shot every time Johnny says hi?
I do at home.
Okay. How are you alive? You probably could have gotten alcohol poisoning.
Y'all ever watch Shock Treatment?
I know of Shock Treatment.
Hilariously bad movies.
It's the sequel to Rocky Horror.
Right.
I know of it. I haven't seen
it. Oh, I think you
it.
Mentioned this before.
Yeah. Good songs.
I feel like Rocky Horror didn't need a sequel.
No, it really does not.
So, the basic plot is it's after the honeymoon with Brad and Janet, only there is an actor strike. Or,
wait, they can't get Barry Bosworth?
No, I mean, there's either an actor... There was some sort
I understand
of
not getting,
strike.
I understand not getting so, Susan Sarandon, but they couldn't get Barry Bosworth.
The actors that would be in it, they had to film it all in Britain, so it's supposed to take place in Denton, Texas. And this is still Squadron, right? But they couldn't.
So they're filming something in Texas.
Well, they're filming it all in Britain. Right. And it's all these British people trying to have American accents.
Texan accents, too.
Oh, God.
But it's all. They changed it all to be TV shows. Every scene is a different TV show. It's weird and scrambled like that.
Are the accents possibly as bad as Emma Watson's in The Perks of Being a Wallflower? Like that bad British kind trying to be American and failing? Or hers is pretty horrendous. I like Emma Watson. She's a good actress, but she's
not
doing an
American
accent. Yeah, I
really liked that movie. The accents didn't take me out of the movie. her accent didn't take me out of the movie, but I wouldn't assume she was from the same place as everybody else with it.
Yeah.
Now. She get past. I didn't even think about that, but
Now
you've ruined that movie for him.
Did.
He's never gonna be able to watch it again.
Well, nice one.
So one thing about Warhammer I don't know.
Oh well. Speaking of Emma Watson, that's another March thing.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast is a couple of weeks apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, what? Like next week, right?
I don't know.
Wasn't it like St. Patrick's Day?
No, next week is King Kong.
Oh, next week is King Kong.
Well, you see,
yeah, next week is King Kong.
The furry trend that, you know, people were into, 10 years ago or so, finally faded, and Disney said, we can't let that happen. So we're making a live-action Beauty.
Well, at least it's shitty CGI and not, like, an actual furry costume, because that would have been much worse.
God.
Well, on that note, final thoughts? You have one surrounding you.
I got one. Samurai Jack.
Yeah,
watch it this
stole
weekend.
Mine, but okay, yeah. We are 2 days away from the return of Samurai Jack, and please watch it. Please don't give Cartoon Network an excuse to not do more Samurai Jack, because Samurai Jack is freaking amazing.
And I doubt these guys will talk about it at all next week.
Your doubts will not pan out, I believe. But, oh well.
I'm sorry, let me turn the sarcasm up a little bit on that one.
I know. Okay, so yeah, I'm jumping on to Adam's final thought.
Anybody else?
We're all staring at you.
Okay, thanks for looping me in to your little podcast. I had not participated in one before. This was fun. Thanks, guys.
Well, that's how we all got started was... actually, I got started like walking over to argue with Larry about something.
Oh, actually, yeah.
And it's a time-honored tradition. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. I was just standing in the checkout line, and Gomer was just like, hey, come over here.
Usually I select him, but he's been dying.
Yeah, because this originally originated, and we'd start doing it at noon on Wednesdays. Yeah, and I would come in. I started coming in early to record it. Now, originally it was Jules whose equipment we were recording it on, but we set it up on the store stuff. Man,
I miss Jules.
I don't remember the last time he did an Instruments of Destruction with me, and that's his show. That's his show.
I really wish that Jules were still alive.
I've seen him. I assume he's not. I saw him 2 weeks ago.
Impossible.
Was it at the Yankees
game? It was here. It was here.
Was he, was he decked out in all of his Yankees regalia?
He was. Yeah. But it was here. It wasn't at the game.
You've got to come and contradict us, Jules. Not you, though, Gomer. We're good without you.
Yeah, you can stay where you are.
I mean, if you think about it.
Oh, well. Yeah, we prefer you stay awake, Gomer.
Your hair takes up too much room.
It does.
No matter
how much you shave it,
it also
right back.
Now I'm picturing, like, Gomer, like, outside of a lightning storm and, like...
His hair just expanding and expanding.
Yeah, by lightning. See, if Gomer did get struck by lightning, he'd be fine because his hair has the volume to just completely absorb all the shock.
Or would he burst into this flaming hair?
Yeah, I'm just picturing like Gomer's hair with like extreme static frizz.
That is exactly how lightning works, folks.
Yeah, he'd get struck by lightning and become Super Saiyan. His hair would burst into flames.
I'm assuming his hair is made out of some sort of insulated material, though.
Yes. It is waterproof.
It is waterproof.
It actually is. It, like, okay, we did one of those cold water challenges here, like, as a group, and Gomer, you can watch it in... it was worth it just to watch Gomer's hair get wet, and then in real time, it, like, regenerates mere seconds later back into its poofy glory. I'm not even exaggerating.
Once the water rolls off of it,
I don't think it was even fair. He didn't really even...
Compresses down under the weight of the water for the little bit, and then it just bounces off. And the videos, is still on YouTube. We're not exaggerating. It's,
It is a wonder to behold.
But that is all for us here on Geeks of the Square Table. You can find us here every Thursday, 7 o'clock, at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Somebody got it.
Or find us online at comiccity2.com or on Twitter, Tumblr, all that good jazz, or outrightgeekery.com or on Facebook. And reach out and please send all your hate mail to Gomer.
Or Jules.
Jules is also
a viable option.
Jules is more
if
used
you'd
to
like.
It.
Jules gets all the Instruments of Destruction hate mail, so.
Well, I guess we should spread it around, though.
Yeah. You can send it to me. I love hate mail. It makes me laugh.
Hate mail's great. I've got hate mail.
I have too. Online, not in real life. But yes, I've gotten a good bit of it online.
Now, I get nothing but flattering mail from my relatives, which all happen to be Nigerian princes. Yeah.
I can see the resemblance.
Well, you know, they want to give me money. They just need my bank account information.
Oh,
okay.
The usual. All right. Well, I'll see you next time. Same bat channel. Or same bat time. Same bat channel.
You had one job.
Yeah, good night, Elaine. Yeah, that's...
No, I'm sitting here lingering, waiting for somebody to say good night, Elaine.
Well, you were sitting there talking.
Yeah, maybe we're just going to let it go this time, man.
Well, you know, okay, fair enough. I could have kept talking for another 20 minutes. Yeah.
That would be interesting, seeing how far you would milk it just to...
He's done it before.
Now, what would happen would we end up starting another conversation and it would be like a 3-hour podcast.
Like this one right now.
Yes.